Good morning.
Good morning.
Before I start to get into the message this morning, I want to ask Haley Bartlett if she would come forward this morning. I don't know if all of you was here last week or not, but Haley was baptized, so we want to give her her certificate of baptism, and we also just have a little gift for her, something that she can take home and hopefully continue to grow and mature in her faith. God bless you, Haley. Let's give a hand to the Lord. Worship. Is it about us or God? Worship. For you, thinking about it, is it about us? Is it about you? Is it about you? Or is it about God? When you hear the word worship, what does it mean? I think over the years and church activities and probably even as you go from different denomination to different denomination, but even from an individual perspective, we have different views about what that means. What comes to your mind? Keep in mind, worship needs to be God-focused. There are many things that can happen during worship. But think about it, when we have a tendency to make it inward focus just about me, then we begin to pick, right? Was it something I understood? Or was it, did I like what the preacher said that morning? You know what? Sometimes worship may be us hearing exactly what we don't want to hear that morning. Right? We may leave worship feeling a little bit like, boy, I was challenged. I'm not sure I liked what the preacher had to say. That might have very well been the worship that you needed. You know, in the Word of God, there's times when we see, many times, when people come face to face with God in some way, whether it's an angel, whether it's the Spirit of God, quite often there's fear there. There's a response that sometimes causes them to feel a little trepidation, a little discomfort. All right, worship is not, it is not just about us and about what we get out of it. Did I feel good this morning? Now listen, there's nothing wrong with saying that. Boy, the Lord was there. He was with us. I sense it. And quite often for us, really what we mean by that is I felt good about what happened that morning. And I sensed a joyous moment. And I'm not saying that's not worship. But understand, I really believe worship is supposed to be about God, not about us. It's not about what necessarily did I get out of it. It's supposed to be about Him. In attempting to define worship, it's interesting to know nowhere is it clearly defined in the Scriptures. There's times when we can see moments where we would say worship took place. Maybe some moments in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see responses. Quite often when we look at it, we think about it as, well, if there was a great movement, if lots of people responded, well, then that must have been worship. But yet, can't worship also be one-on-one? Amen. Think about it from this perspective as to whether you worship yourself or worship God, what it looks like to be worshiping God. Let's say for a moment, which this is not true, this is not good, we wouldn't want this to happen, but what if we worship a person? What if you decide you're worshiping somebody? Whoever that is, that doesn't matter. If you were going to worship a person, think about it for a moment. If you're worshiping that person, what is that worship about? It's about pleasing that person you worship. Boy, if you said, boy, she worships him, or he worships her, it's all about that other person. It's about the object of worship. You know, they spend their time, their efforts, they're always thinking about trying to please this person they're worshiping. And you see, when you think about it from that perspective, you can see, I feel like, I'm right there with you. Sometimes we as a church, we as individual Christians, we think about worship as, what am I going to get out of it? You know, what makes me feel good? What pleases me? When really we should come at it with the approach of, what pleases Him? What honors Him? What makes Him feel good about what we're doing? Why should we worship God. Why should we even do it? To be changed. We should come at worship with the intention, with the desire of being changed. You're not going to gain anything out of worship if you simply go there with the thoughts of feeling good about yourself. Now listen, don't misunderstand me. I think it's wonderful if something good comes out of it that you feel good about yourself. But if that's always your approach, then you're going to come away with empty worship. You need to come with this a desire within yourself to be changed. Now what is that change going to look like? I don't know. That's between you and God. But you need to come at it from the concept of, or with a desire to be changed. It is intended that worship change us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, Paul says to the church in Corinth, he says, "And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed." That's the point. That's the word I want you to focus on this scripture. This is not our main text. Our main text is out of John chapter 4 that we started discussing last week. But transformed. Transformed, this idea of change. We all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Now, if you go back and read the context of what's going on in this chapter, this veiling, there was something that happened in the Old Testament with Moses. You may remember a time when he was coming off the mountain and he had been with God as an individual, worshiping, and God was giving him some instructions, the Ten Commandments. And he come away and his face was glowing in that moment of worship. And it was glowing so much that when he got down to the rest of the Israelites, they were scared, they were fearful, they were uncomfortable with what they were seeing. And they asked him to cover it, to veil it. Paul is talking about this worship of Jesus Christ here, is that it is unveiled. There is nothing between us and him, and we can do it as an individual. We go to him with this unveiled face, with an openness on our part and an openness and an expectation on his part that he's going to come in and respond and help us to be transformed. If you're not worshiping God with a desire to be transformed, you're not worshiping God. Amen. You're just simply coming here to please yourself or please others. You need to come with a mindset of, I want to be changed. I want to be transformed. Listen, if you think you've got it all figured out, then why be here? Or you should be up here. Listen, I don't have it all figured out. And if you ever feel as though I'm impressing upon you that I have it all figured out, pull me aside and let me know. No, you don't, Rick. You don't have it all figured out. I'm just up here trying to lead us in the process of worship. And again, it's not just about when I'm standing here, right? It's about all we're doing here. It really should be what we are doing all day long. Worship. We didn't come to worship. We are continuing our worship as we gather here. Worship should determine who we become. Worship is why we were created, or in part as to why we're created. Everyone worships something. You think about it. We all are worshiping something. Now it might bounce from day to day, maybe even from minute to minute. What we're deciding is the most important thing at that moment. That we're allowing to transform us, that is allowing us to influence. Some of us might worship individuals. Some of us might worship ourselves. Some of us might worship our jobs. We worship something. Question is, what are you going to worship, and what is the value that's coming out of it? Clearly, I'm here to tell you, I worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's my hope that you have that same desire. Because in worshiping Him, we will be changed, and it will be for our own good. We worship because it pleases Him. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 23, the second half of the verse, the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is seeking out us to worship Him. It is pleasing to God when we worship Him, when we take a moment, when we consider who He is, when we consider who we are, and we consider who we should be based on who He is. The Father is seeking us to worship Him. We also worship Him because He is worthy. Revelation 4:11 says, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." You think about all these entities in the world that, you know, someone who, a great business, and there's some genius that creates this great business, and that business, at some point, some of the individuals there seem to worship that creator who started the business or had the great idea. And then the whole business is sort of wrapped around that individual. God created it all. He created even the individuals who come up with these genius ideas. Isn't He worthy of being worshipped?
Amen.
Because of what He's done for us. He created us. He loves us. He desires to have a relationship with us. He desires to transform us into being like His Son. He is worthy of worship. So how should we worship? John chapter 4, now this is our main text. Again, pulling some scripture. There's so much in that chapter 4 conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And I just pulled out a section of it. And I wanted to talk for a moment about worship. John chapter 4, verse 19. Again, this is the Samaritan woman who Jesus come to at the well by Himself. The woman said to Him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." You remember, maybe remember again, last week he had made a statement about her life and about what had been going on. He knew everything about her. "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain." She was a Samaritan. Historically, they were worshipping in a different place than the Jews did. "But you say that in Jerusalem is a place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." There was some change coming. And as a matter of fact, the change was already happening. Verse 22, "You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." Let's pray. Father God, as this morning, help each of us to pause, to set aside our moment of time here that we've decided to come here. Help each of us to be open-minded, to allow you to continue the transformation process that you started in our lives when we first came to faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help each of us to simply receive and respond to your truth from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We worship in spirit and in truth. And again, Jesus here is saying, and throughout the Gospels, here and throughout the Gospels, that the Jews didn't have it figured out. He says, yes, that salvation is from the Jews. That is, that ultimately, He is coming from the Jewish nation. And there's much connection between, obviously, what the Jews taught. We still study and believe wholeheartedly in what the Old Testament taught us. But Jesus come, and He is the extension or the further acts of God through the Jewish nation. But yet there were some things that they needed to know that they needed to change as well, the religious leaders of the Jews of that day. And what their worship, for the most part, if you read some of the discussions that we were discussing in our Bible study on Wednesday night, how the Jews, the many of the religious leaders of the Jewish faith at that time were all focused on the outward things. You know, their religion, their worship was about doing activities as if you were checking boxes, right? You wear certain clothing, you show up a certain way, you say a certain prayer, you give a certain amount of money, but yet inside they were dead. They were going through the motions. Their worship was not pleasing to God. It wasn't actually bringing any value. You know what the only value was being brought? It was to them. In a sense, they were receiving from the world's perspective because they were looked at as good because of some of their activities. Right? If you do what you do with the intention of other men seeing you, then you received all the reward you're going to get.
Amen.
It's empty. Their worship was empty. They were going through the motions, but yet they were dead inside. And the Samaritans, they were way off base. They were worshiping a false god. They were not even, they didn't have the truth. They had created something all in and of themselves apart from God and His Word. And they were worshiping again at that time the wrong place. But Jesus is trying to tell them, listen, in a while none of that's going to matter. The temple was destroyed. It doesn't matter anymore where. There is no geographical place that you must come to worship. Isn't that important to think about today when you think about what has been going on with us with the virus? For a while we weren't here, and now there's many people that are still not here with us. It's not limiting them from being able to worship God. You can still worship God. Yes, there is wonderful value in coming to a certain place and having traditions and joining together with others who are worshiping. But listen, if you're stuck in a hole someplace and you can't get away for whatever reason, you can still worship God. Amen. Praise God, we're not limited. You're not dishonorable to God because you didn't show up to church this morning at church, this Sunday morning because you had something else going on that was in the way, such as your concern for illness. You can worship God wherever you're at. And also, our worship is meant to be alive. It's meant to be something that will change us, that will draw us to Him on a day-to-day basis. So what is, and I want to tell you, as we are discussing this, understand, there is not a clear definition of what all this means. I'm just going to share with you some thoughts on this whole idea of worshiping in spirit and in truth. But we do know fully here, Jesus Christ says, God wants people to worship Him in the spirit. Our spirit is our inner life, our emotions. It's all of us, our heart. Spirit, the word itself, means basically breath or wind. It's not something you can really define. You know, you might think of it, to me, I think of it in a similar way about love. How do you know if there's love and who's loving and how you define it? When you begin to define that, you realize every one of us sort of has a different concept about what love means. I would say the same thing about worshiping in spirit. The one thing I want you to be careful about, yes, I think it's all about all of us, our heart, our mind, our soul, our emotions, but at the same time, it doesn't necessarily mean it will be emotional. In other words, we are not limited to say, well, my emotions were caught up, I felt warm, I felt excited. Listen, I got a little warm, I don't know about you, but my heart was warm during our baptism last Sunday. But that doesn't mean that's the only time worship takes place. It is so much more than that. It is you coming alongside God's Spirit and opening yourself up. God wants you to be open. God can only transform you when you allow yourself to be open, to be moved. I'm sure there's many of you have go through times in your life, as I have, where I'm not going to be moved from a spot. I have a certain mindset. I have a certain concept about what things are. Listen, I want to tell you, God has intentions wherever you are to move you. He wants to move you, and that requires you to be open, to allow yourself to be moved. Yes, to feel things, but it's not necessarily about a feeling that you can walk away and say, this is wonderful. Again, what I said before, I think the Bible teaches there are times when your spirit is with God's spirit and you feel a sense of trouble in your heart. And because God is trying to bring about a change in you that's painful. And you know what? In some cases, every change is painful a little bit because there's some anxiety in the midst of change. You're letting go of something. And God is continually wanting you to let go of something to move to something else. And many of the big changes in your life required you to let go of something else that you thought was very important. God wants you to change. I'm not up here telling you what that change is or what it even is going to look like, but I can tell you with all my heart, God wants to change you. He wants your life to change. I don't know about you, but those of you who have been Christians for a while, I recognize that I still have much in my life that needs to be changed. And I want to, I don't know about you, but I want to have a desire in the midst of my worship, whether it is reading the Bible myself at home, whether it's having a conversation about the Lord Jesus Christ in my lunch hour at work. It's supposed to be a half hour, sometimes it ends up being an hour. Then, right? Or whether it's about a conversation on the phone with someone who's just talking about something going on in their life, or whether it's here as we're singing, as we're listening to the sermon, as we're hearing, as we're praying. Lynn did something a while back. It blessed my heart. He was talking about praying, and him and I have had a conversation a little bit beyond that too about how prayer should be a moment where we're all praying. You know, we have a tendency in Baptist circles anyway. I've been in other denominations where that's not true, but in Baptist circles, quite often prayer means everyone else quietly waits for the other person to finish. At least that seems to be what's happening. I may be wrong. Maybe many of you are taking part, but the intention is, and that's what Lynn was trying to do, was trying to pull all of you in, that during that prayer time, that each and every one of us can pause and respond and have a conversation with the Lord. It's not about that. I've been to other churches that sometimes where a different denomination where prayer time was bless my heart. All voices were happening. It may have sounded a little, to those of you who've raised up in the Baptist churches where everyone sits quietly while another one speaks, it may feel a little uncomfortable. And again, I'm not saying they're right or we're wrong. You may be all praying to God during that moment in time when someone else is praying. I don't know your hearts, but I do know that is the intention. It is that we're all taking the moment in time to have a conversation with the Lord. It's very important as we are seeking to worship and in spirit that it be genuine, that it be from the heart, that we're not attempting to mimic somebody else, that we're attempting to respond as God leads us. And yes, that may lead you to do something that someone next to you might feel is a little odd, and that's okay. Respond with your heart. Again, I think most importantly is to be open. To be open to be changed. That is, to me, that is a requirement to worship. If you're not being open to the Lord drawing you unto Him and bringing about change in your life, I question any other kind of worship. In a sense, your spirit is, one of my seminary teachers used this idea, bumping, right? Your spirit is bumping into His spirit. And listen, when you're around God and you're bumping into His spirit, I'm going to tell you, He wants to bring about change. Secondly, Jesus talks about it being truth. God wants us to worship in truth. So this precludes us from devising our own views about who God is and what His Word is and picking, choosing what Word. Listen, Jesus Christ, throughout His teaching and all His New Testament, all the other writers of the New Testament were continually pulling out the Old Testament and using it and teaching from it. They never tried to shove anything aside. They didn't try to say this is more value or less. It's all valuable. It needs to come from his word. See, that's where the Samaritans were off. They went off and they created their own sense of worship. And listen, we might even start off thinking this is a good thing. You know, we're going to go out and we're going to do something nice, something good. Let's kind of create our own plan, our own ideas. And as soon as you pull away from this word, you begin to worship a false god. It has to be tied to the word best way we can. Now listen, I understand there's many things in this word that are not explained. They're not thoroughly vetted out. Again, what college courses should I take, right? What high school is best for me? There's many things in here that are not spelled out, but I want to tell you, when it comes to our worship, we should always be able to tie it back in some way, shape, or form, something out of the Word of God. Yes, sometimes there's value in just simply taking a moment and reading it and seeing that as part of our worship. Our worship must be in truth. It needs to be honest. It needs to be taking in the whole of God's Word. Our worship needs to be with all our heart. This is said numerous times in the New Testament. God wants us to worship Him wholeheartedly. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. I don't know about you, but you can spend the rest of your life. I don't know that you can totally fulfill this. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Can you see this is talking about utilizing all of yourself in the midst of your worship? This is what pleases God, and again, ultimately, will bring value to your own life. If you want to see your worship make a difference in your life, then you need to be working the best way you can to worship Him wholeheartedly. Again, what does that look like? I'm not going to define it for you because that's a very individual thing between you and God Himself. Worship, I will say this, worship was never meant to have non-participants. Sometimes it feels as though when we gather in church, and again, there's many other ways to worship besides church, but when we gather in church, sometimes it feels as though we treat it, and I'm putting myself in the same box throughout the years when I've sat back there, because I sat back there for many years as well. We sometimes look at it as a spectator sport, where you're sitting back and you're just watching what's happening, and you find yourself the same as you would if you were at a concert, and you simply go home and say, I just didn't do it for me. I didn't like it, and you just start picking at everything. You're missing it. If you're coming in here as a spectator, that's not worship. I know that it's inhuman of us to not say something from time to time about something we saw or something that happened during the service. But listen, it is intended that you are participating with your heart, your mind, your soul. And yes, I want to tell you with all my heart, it's my desire that more and more of us are actively involved in what's happening on a Sunday morning. It's not just about three or four of us doing everything. If you have ideas and thoughts, please share them with us. It's not just, again, you can't actively be involved by sitting back there, by praying for us, by praying with us, by singing out to the Lord, by saying amen to something that you say, you sense, you agree in your heart. It's not meant to be a non-participant sport. We should be, each of us should be seeking ways to put our time and our talents into what's happening when we do gather in worship. I do believe the Bible teaches that we were all born to be worshipers, and we worship something. Again, as you were listening to some of what I said, you may have agreed, you may disagree with some of that. When it comes to defining worshiping in spirit and truth, I believe it is a very individual thing. I believe that your worship may be taking place that makes me uncomfortable and vice versa. It's okay that we choose to worship a little differently. But it needs to be open-minded again with a heart and a desire to honor God and to respond to His Word. The question is, are you being committed in your worship of Him the best way you know how? Are you even taking a moment to even think, what does it mean to worship in spirit and truth? And am I putting that into practice? And lastly, back to what I opened up with. You know, is your worship about Him? Or is your worship about you? Let's pray. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for Your love, Your mercy. We thank You for Your Word that helps us define so much about You, and so much about how we should choose to live. Help each of us here this morning to take a moment and to ponder where we fit in this. Are we worshiping in spirit and truth? Are there some things maybe that we need to adjust? Maybe we need to be a little more open. Maybe we need to be a little bit more honest. Maybe we need to avoid just simply going through the motions. Guide us, Lord, to honor You. And Lord, we know that You will honor us as we respond to Your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If God's speaking to your heart in any way, I want to encourage you. Angela, what do we have this morning? Just as I am. The Lord. the Lord speaking to your heart in some way. You want to pray. Maybe it's something about something I said. Maybe it has nothing to do with anything I said. Maybe it's not even about you. You want to pray for this church. You want to pray for somebody else who's hurting. The altar is open as we sing. Let's all stand and sing.